the scripture that says, without a vision, the people, say it out loud, the people, say it again, one more time, perish. That word perish there in its connotation is that of a freezer that has either been unplugged or it has run out of juice. A freezer that has lost its power source. That word perish resembles that of spoiled food in an unplugged freezer. So God is not saying to us, hey, you just die. You just kind of go away. He said, no, if you don't have a vision, you begin to smell in his presence. That's why I said you can't know him and not be moved by him. You can't know him and him not be the God of your actions and reactions and the God of love in your heart and in your life. You may not even know it, but you begin to kind of reek of what is anti-God and everything that is not him. And most of all today, if you look like anything in him, Sarah Glover, you look like the love of God. We resemble how much he loves us. We begin to resemble how much he cares. That love is not manipulative love. It's not a coercive love. It's not a love that if you do what I say or ask, then I love you and I love God. It's not that at all. It's a love without restraint, a sacrificial love. And sometimes that love looks like a rag doll. I want to share something with you today. Romans, familiar passage of scripture. My base will be Luke 7. The story that takes place there. But Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What did he say, Josh? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine? Anya, nakedness or danger or sword? Can any of knowing all these things, we are, say it with me, more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can be seated. Pandy was a rag doll. Most of her hair was gone. Her arm was missing. And she basically had the stuffing knocked out of her. When Pandy was young, she was quite the looker. The little girl who owned Pandy loved her with a strong love. When she went to bed at night, Pandy lay next to her. At lunch, Pandy ate beside her at the table. Sometimes Pandy even took a bath. From the doll's point of view, this at times probably felt like a fatal attraction. The time came when Pandy was no longer very attractive. In fact, she was a complete mess. She no longer had value, much at all. But for reasons no one could quite figure out, this little girl loved that Raggedy Ann doll. In fact, she loved her as strongly in her ragged condition as she ever had in the days of her beauty. Other dolls came and went, but Pandy always remained strong and close. She was family. When the little girl grows up, she trades Pandy for Andy. And they say their I do's, and they celebrate marriage, and Pandy goes to the attic for a few years. The nature of that little girl's love is what made Pandy so beautiful in whatever condition. The truth is, if you loved that little girl at all, you loved Pandy, her doll. Tears and hugs and secrets got mixed in with the rags of that little doll. When this little girl had a little girl, she wanted a rag doll. So what does mom do? Mom literally goes to the attic And she takes Pandy to the doll hospital in, where else? California, for reconstructive surgery. I.e., Pandy got a facelift, liposuction, and whatever else she needed. Pandy was beautiful again. But now she did not simply love Pandy because she was beautiful. She loved her with the kind of love that made that doll beautiful for someone else, for her own daughter, her own flesh and blood. The truth this morning is simply this: we are all rag dolls. We've all had times when we were beautiful, and we've all had times when we've been completely messed up. We are flawed, we are wounded, we are broken, and we are bent. Since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, we have lived on the ragged edge. Raggedness happens to us. We're torn, we're pulled. Our genes set us up for certain weaknesses. Our parents let us down sometimes when we feel like we need them the most. Spouses let us down. Children let us down. People will fail us. Like ink in a glass of water, raggedness permeates our entire being. Sometimes from head to toe, we feel like we're a mess. But right here, right now, would you turn to someone and tell them, in spite of how I may look, I'm God's rag doll. If I'm anything, I belong to Him. I belong to God. I'm His project. I'm His masterpiece. I'm the one that He loves in spite of all my raggedness. He loved us in our beauty as a newborn baby. And He loves us even when we look and feel like a rag doll. God created us in wonder. Genesis says that we are created in His very image. It is Psalms that actually tells us that we rival the divine beings in glory and honor. Because of Jesus Christ, there is a wonder about you, and even your fallen condition cannot erase it. Raggedness is not your identity. Raggedness is not my destiny. At times we may be unlovely, but with God we are never unloved. If you can't lift your hand for anything else, can you lift your hand right now and say, God, thank you for loving me. Yes. Hear what I'm about to say. We cannot be loved, Jeremy, actually, by God and not be changed. We cannot be loved without being changed. It is that when people are loved, they should become lovely. Jim, especially if it's the love of God. We found this to indeed be true on a physical level. Psychologists agree that the excitement of being in love increases your heart rate. I've noticed times in Kelly's life when her face glowed more than others. Psychologists tell us that your lips look more red. Circles under your eyes become less noticeable. Your pupils dilate. Your eyes look brighter. You walk around singing songs like, I'm gonna make you love me. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. No matter what you sing, it comes out sounding like Marvin Gaye or Barry White. I didn't know you could sing like that. It's the essence. It's what's coming out. It's what's in me. It's what's coming out of me. God looks at us. Everything that God constructs in us is to bear His image, and it come out being better than it was before and lovelier than it was before. We look and we re-radiate the love of Jesus Christ. So we look for love in someone or something of great worth, but God looks for love in the rag doll. We are drawn to an object that is expensive or attractive, someone who gives us status and elevates us individually and collectively. But the Greek calls it eros. It is more than a sexual love. It gives to what satisfies my desire, wins my admiration, fulfills my appetite. Eros is love on a personal treasure hunt. Studies show that adults coo more at prettier babies. Let me tell you this morning. The prince was not enraptured with Cinderella's intelligence. He was not befuddled by her intelligent and sensitive conversation. The prince was smitten by the way she looked. Snow White and Sleeping Beauty got their men while they were still comatose. I love it. Rapunzel never had a bad hair day. But God looks for love in broken rag dolls. He watched David. He watched David whip Goliath at 17 years of age, but he loved him when he killed Uriah and he slept with Bathsheba. God loves the rag doll. He put his call on Moses in a basket, but still loved him when he killed an Egyptian and ran for his life and hid in the desert for 40 years. He watched Peter walk on water, but he loved him when he denied Jesus 3 times at a campfire. God loves the rag doll. He loved Rahab at Jericho and Gomer when she cheated on Hosea, and Sarah when she laughed and when she lied. God loves the rag doll, and we all have something messed up inside of us. But if we really love God today, like you say you love God, we must have a love that creates value in who and what we really love. Love does not manipulate circumstances. Don't tell me you love me and try to control my behavior. Don't you dare say you love this church and try to manipulate one circumstance after the other. Love is about right now invested equity. It's about carrying a cross that you don't always deserve. Listen, the way that I love Kelly, it's not just September 12, 1986. That's the day that we said I do. But it's invested equity that I have in her right now. And I let her down. And I don't sweep the floor like I always should. And I don't always water the plants like I should. And sometimes I just miss it altogether. I don't even know what I did wrong. But I love her. And I can't just kiss her on September 12, 1986 and not show her affection in 2023. Eros is not a bad kind of love at all, really. It's good for a baby to love its mother, for a lover to celebrate his beloved, and you should. You deserve to feel celebrated, but a rag doll cannot build its life on Eros love alone. You will always have to prove you're pretty enough, smart enough, strong enough, spiritual enough to be loved. Pastor, you have to make this right decision and that right decision. Sarah, you've got to lead this way and lead that way. You got to do this and you got to do that. You deserve to be to feel celebrated, and you deserve to be loved with a love that goes beyond just the attraction of initial contact with an individual. We have to have a love that is stronger than the world's love. Otherwise, Miss Glenda, we're just loving like the world does. And the love can never fully understand the love of God until they're drawn and wooed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they meet Jesus, the love above all us, he always changes the life. And we need a love that creates value in us, love that turns us into priceless treasures, love without measure. This is the way God loves us. He did not love because he was bored or lonely or ran out of things to do. As a matter of fact, God's love was not greatest when he chose to create us. He showed us how much he really loved us when we became sinful and dirty and black and unlovely and unholy. And Paul said it like this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was Isaiah that said, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and our righteous acts are as filthy rag dolls. We all become so ragged and damaged by sin and guilt. Logic says, just discard the human race. God got a little frustrated one time several years ago, and he sent a flood. And he took out every living being except for those that he chose to save. But we don't throw them away. That's not our option. Instead, God chooses reconstructive surgery. And if you don't think there is a place, there really is a place. It's not in California, but it's a place called Calvary. It's a place, he gave the ultimate sacrifice and he paid the ultimate price for our redemption. And anything and everything that's broken in your life, if you think this is made up, it's a fairy tale, it's not. Today you can find Calvary here. You can find Calvary in your seat. You can find Calvary on your way home. And God will reconstruct you and he can put back the most broken pieces of your life together again so that you give him glory and you become a living, breathing testimony. All that he can do. So this is where we'll let the rubber meet the road. If you love God, you will love his people, period. If you love God, you'll love his ragdolls, period. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as. Jesus said, whatever you did to the least of these, you did it to me. It's a package deal. You love God, you love his dolls. Pete, did you ever notice in Scripture, people that were most open to their own raggedness, their own mess, their own screwed up situation, those were the ones that were most open to the love of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he shocked them. Matter of fact, there were times when he spoke to them and no one else would speak. He reached out to touch them when no one else would touch them, and he healed them what no one else could heal. And they were astonished. They were taken. Why would you talk to me, a Samaritan? I can't even believe you're speaking to me. And he reaches out to them. Luke chapter 7 calls a woman a sinner, and she meets Jesus at Simon's house. Listen to what I'm telling you today. Simon is a Pharisee in every negative sense of the connotation. We kind of labeled Pharisees all together in one lump sum. And when you do some study, you do some background research, you'll find out most of them were good, God-fearing people. But there was a sect of the Pharisees that were bent on their phylacteries and bent on their 600 plus something rules on a little bitty scroll rolled up in a box, and they wore it on their forehead to show people how holy they were. I'm everything but a box on my forehead. I'm everything in the world but measuring up to 600 plus man-made ridiculous rules. And this woman meets Jesus at Simon's house, and she was scandalized. She lost her reputation. There's no virtue in her. She had the stuffing knocked out of her for a little while. It's not in the scripture, but I think her middle name might have been Pandy. Just a little broken. She is probably a hooker. She had not always looked like this. She had dreams. She has been cherished in her life. I know a little bit different message this morning. At one point in her life, she has been cherished. Anya, she has a daddy. Some point in time, she might have been close to her mother. She had been beautiful to someone at some time. And she is contemptible to everyone else in that room but Jesus. No one else in that house. What if you walked into this place? What if someone walked into this place today and felt like nobody in this house wants them here? nobody cares but Jesus. And when she looked at him, she saw unconditional love. She had right now invested equity. That's been my word or two the last 6, 8, 12 months, invested equity. She poured out her perfume. She washed his feet with her tears. She was lost in the gap between who she had become and who she wanted to be. And Jesus knew she was more than a what. Jesus knew that she was a who, and that this day would change her life forever. When she woke up that morning, she didn't see it coming. When others in that room woke up that morning, they never saw it coming. But on that day, on that morning, Jesus changed her life forever. And I'm telling you, when we walk into this house, we had better do more than celebrate. When we walk into this house, we had better do more than make a noise. When we walk into this house, we had better come knowing that this could be the day that separates someone from hell and puts them on a road to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You love who he loves. Invested equity that stops talking about it and starts doing it. The word says that she let down her hair. Do you understand the practice and the custom of the prostitute? Before services were rendered, the sign that says, "I'm about to sell myself to you," in an act of sexuality, perverseness, outside the covenant of God, was for a woman to walk into the room and let down her hair. And this woman had probably let her hair down so many times. We try to gloss over. We try to make everything religious and everything pretty. This was an ugly thing. It had been an ugly life. It was a ragdoll situation. And she walks into that room and she lets down her hair. But this time, it will not be another wound on her heart or another scar on her soul. Simon wants Jesus to point her out. Tell it like it is, Jesus. She has lowered her standards of fidelity. She probably wrecked home after home after home along the way. It does no good to gloss over how ragged she really is. But this time, when she lets down her hair, it is the last time that she will let down her hair. Because this time, when she lets her hair down, she worships Jesus the Christ. Did you hear me? I say she worships in her brokenness. We are blessed to have talents. We are blessed to have abilities. But you never worship God in and of your talent. You worship God when you've been broken like a rag doll. That's worship. This time she gets it right. This time the raggedness is just about over. So my question is, do you want some things to be over this morning? Right here, right now. In this moment, God can do, stand with me all over this house. God can do reconstructive surgery in your life. Jeremy, come here. I'll let you be Jesus, and I'll be the old ugly Pharisee. But when Jesus, and Jesus loved the Pharisee, but when he walks in, Simon never offers water to wash his feet. Simon never offers anointing oil to refresh him. Simon never offers a kiss or an embrace to say, "Welcome into my home." It's a sideshow. Jesus is in the house, but it's a sideshow. I'll let you develop your own interpretation of where we are today with that. And finally, Jesus tells him with all the love of a loving Savior, he said, You didn't kiss me, you didn't give me water, you didn't wash my feet. But from the moment this woman walked through the doors of the house with all of her baggage, all of her scars, she bows at his feet. She anoints him. She comes to know him as the great deliverer. He said, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. So the question is today, balcony. The question to everyone on this floor is, the statement of fact is this, you never have to worry about Jesus loving you that way. He does. He cares. The real question for us in 2023 is, can we love that way? Means you're in their corner. It means you're for the one who is loved. And Jesus says, she may be a rag doll, but she's my rag doll. We get bent out of shape over dumb stuff. It still amazes me. I'm telling you today, I don't deserve a pedestal and I don't deserve a pat on the back. I'm a rag doll just like you. But it blows my mind. Some of the things we still talk about in the church. We've read the Gospels 3,200 times and know all about the coming of the Lord. And we say we believe that that's why we come to church, but we just get so bent out of shape, our hair pulled out and our arms twisted off. And the thing I love about Jesus, Philip, is basically this is what he says, guys. He says, we've added numbers over here, by the way. It looks good today. He says, if I get in the house, it's a package deal. If I get in the house, she gets in the house. I'll tell you the story quickly and we'll pray. You may have heard it. An 8-year-old little boy knew that his sister was dying of leukemia. He was told that without a blood transfusion, she would die. She was close. They tested to see if his blood would match, and it did. And they asked him, they said, will you give your blood? Because your blood is a match for your sister, and if you don't give your blood, your sister has no chance to live. He said, could I please think about this overnight? He goes home, goes to bed, mom and dad. They took him to the hospital. They put him on a gurney. He said he would give his blood. He gives his blood to his sister. He lay there in silence as the blood that would have saved his sister dripped and dropped from the IV. The doctor came in to check on him and said, how are you doing, young man? The little boy opened his eyes and he said, I'm doing okay. He said, how long until I start to die? Maybe if we could enter into some relationships, let some things die in us, we might have an even stronger shot at making some of those relationships work. This little boy thought when he made the decision, obviously, that he was giving his life for a sister. I learned a long time ago as a pastor that I had to let something die. I would carry them all week long. Every night I would take, I'd never get any sleep. This morning, as they sing a little, would you bow your heads? Can we pray together? Father, I love you. I'm thankful for your great love, your great mercy, and your grace. And I pray, God, if there's a pandy in the room, if there is a broken doll in the room, if there is a woman who washes the feet of Jesus with her hair, if there's a Simon in the house, that heart has grown cold and hard, that God, right now in this moment, that they would move, and that God, they would embrace this altar, and they would embrace you as you embrace them. This morning, if God's spoken to your heart at all, I won't wait long. I'm not going to drag it out. But if God's speaking to your heart, you would say, I need to know the love of Jesus today. I need him to wrap his arms around my broken situation, around my marriage, around my home, around my children. I need God just to love me one more time and wrap his. Would you step out from where you are, and would you make your way to this altar right now? Father, you're able.